interrupt this sound file to bring you a terrifying announcement.
PID Radio. I'm Derek Gilbert.
And I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome back to the bunker, everybody. We missed you on Friday.
Yeah, a little glitch with the ISP. And, of course, we had some time taken out Friday night for the interview with Tom Horn on the Q-Files. And we had to scramble at the last minute there because the ISP problem, since we use a broadband telephone service, was also affecting the quality of our phones. So Sharon sat out. I haven't listened to the interview, so I don't know how I did. But anyway, we managed to get past that. But that's why we didn't do the show Friday night. I assure you it had nothing to do with the fact that there was a Cardinals-Cubs game on television.
Nothing at all.
Nothing
at
all.
And the fact that Nicole came over to watch it with us. No, seriously, we would have done a show if we'd been able to get online in a decent... our upload speed was... You know, a snail moves faster than our upload speed.
Yeah.
And, of course, the reason Derek was on the show alone with Tom Horn, of course, is because he was on a cell phone rather than on our home phone. And, you know, that the broadband phone is a great, great idea. I love it. It's usually crystal clear, and we can call just about anywhere for either nothing or next to nothing.
Right.
And it's $24.99 a month, so... But when it's not working, it's not there.
Yeah, so it was inconsistent, so we went with the cell phone. And, the upload speeds, that was really the killer, because if we had done the show, which we could have done, uploading the program to the internet for Friday night might have taken the rest of Friday and some Saturday. Yeah, it was really bad. In fact, Thursday night we were scrambling to get a show up because in time for the replay or the first play at 10 o'clock on the Remnant Radio Network. So, it was not improved by Friday. It seems to be better now. We had some issues, we had some tests run and...
The thinking now is it's probably our modem is going out because we had a storm here a couple of weeks ago and that's when it all started. And at that time, possibly the modem, for whatever reason, reset or got zapped or something. So we're going to try switching it out. But that means that we have to go without it for a day. So we're trying to figure out when we can do that.
Yeah. They won't give us two and let us, you know, bring one home and then swap it out and then change it, bring the other one back.
Good. Yeah. Well, we won't keep them both.
Yeah,
well,
yeah.
They just charge us for both. And I don't know.
What. I don't understand that either.
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, anyway.
Yeah, we got, we got a great week of stuff lined up here. We've got Jay Fields, a three-part interview beginning tomorrow night, and he's going to talk about a woman who's in custody. And I understand we just got an email from Janet Phelan today. And I don't remember if I forwarded the email to you or not.
I didn't see a copy of that. Tell
okay.
me about it. Well, okay. Give.
I just remembered now. I should have emailed this to you earlier, but I was thinking about stopping off to get the modem taken care of on the way home. Janet Phelan, the investigative reporter who reported on the story from Los Angeles about the water department and the things that they're doing under the streets there, put us in touch with this gentleman, Jay Fields. Well, today she sent a note that the woman Jay is going to talk about, former reporter and congressional aide Susan Lindauer, has been transferred from the mental facility in Fort Worth, Texas, to a government facility in New York State.
Oh, well, that's much better because we, in fact, when you hear the interview this week, you'll hear us complaining about the fact that her attorney,
right,
her court-appointed attorney is in New York, and she's in a facility in Texas.
Yeah.
But now she's being transferred back. That's great.
Yeah. According to Janet's note, which came in over lunch today, that... she is in confinement now in New York City. And as of last night, Jay Fields did not know exactly where. And the government is planning to go to court against her on May the 3rd, and they will attempt to have her committed. And at that point in time, she may well have lost any further decisions or the ability to make any further decisions for herself. So when you hear the interview with Jay Fields this week, you'll learn a bit about why the government might want her in confinement. And maybe we can touch base with Jay and find out what he knows of her new status.
Yeah, and if you react to it the way I did, you're going to end up being hopping mad. Not necessarily because it's obvious one way or the other whether or not she is in, you know, actually has broken the law, but the way she's being treated.
Mm-hmm.
there are certain rules and regulations regarding the judicial system, and right. her, you know, her rights are just being stomped on.
It's when you talk about her case and the case of Jose Padilla, whom we've mentioned a few times, it's almost as though the writ of habeas corpus is being phased out.
Yeah.
And sadly, I don't think most Americans even have a clue as to what habeas corpus means in this country. And it's one of the reasons. Here's a clue. It's one of the reasons we went to war against England in 1776.
Bad tea?
Bad dates. Yeah. Bad tea. So we'll talk with Jay Fields about that. And then next week, we've got one of our favorite guys, Russ Dizdar, who's going to kick off Prophecy Month.
That's right. The whole month Radio. Of May is Prophecy. So we're going to, leading up to June 6th of 2006,
that's right.
Which of course is 666.
Yeah. Some interesting things in the news, and you collected a bunch of really good articles for WatcherMagazine.com again today. The story from England on the intelligent cars caught my eye.
That caught my eye too, and of course that's why I posted it. But that follows on the heels of Hillary Clinton saying that we need... Well, she called it a smart fence, but it's really a fence that's able to detect that someone's coming. And even though she didn't necessarily say it, if you're going to embed any kind of electronic surveillance device into a fence or a line of posts or whatever it turns out to be, you also are better be able to tell whether that's an American or not coming across that, you know, fence. So, I mean, if an American happens for whatever reason be over there and coming back in.
Over there being Mexico.
Over there, exactly. Right. Well, anyway, smart cars, intelligent cars.
Mm-hmm.
It sounds really good when they say, look, if you're in an auto accident, you don't even have to be able to push that OnStar button. The car will dial for you.
Well, gee, from a safety standpoint, that sounds like a good thing.
I can just see the ads now. You know, this woman talking about how she was unconscious and all she had in the car was her baby. There was no way that the baby could have dialed.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they're all alive because the car was able to dial out. And because the car had the GPS tracking chip in it, they knew exactly where she was and were able to get right to her. Well, it sounds fabulous. But... it's more than just safety. It's intrusion.
Really?
It's control.
Well, right, because the only way the car can call and notify authorities is if the authorities know exactly where the car is when it calls.
Exactly.
Which, of course, gives the authorities the ability to track your car at any given moment.
Mm-hmm.
This is a move that is being pushed by the European Commission, the EU, in other words. They're trying to create what they call an intelligent car, but it should more properly be called an intelligence gathering car.
Exactly. I think that's a really good way to put it. In fact, sometimes before you who read Watcher Magazine, you know this, sometimes we'll put little comments from us right before the article. And in this one, most of it I just quoted something that's at the very end of the article. If you're like I am, I don't have time to read every word of every article, so I just get the gist of it and move on.
Mm-hmm.
I don't always get to the end of the article because oftentimes it's just, you know, related stories or a review of the story up till now, and you just get the new part of it at the beginning. Well, at the very end, it says, the emergency response system is just one of a suite of new technologies that the commission is trying to encourage. Among the others are so-called lateral support systems, which use radar to make changing lanes on the motorway safer.
Mm-hmm.
Another is autonomous cruise control, which also uses radar systems to control a car's distance from others in front of it and behind it on busy roads. In other words, they're finding ways to literally control your car for you.
Mm-hmm. The other and the final paragraph is even scarier. The commission is backing what they call the AWAKE project, a hypovigilance system that wakens drowsy drivers.
Mm-hmm.
Well, again, it's a good...
That's why those little bumps are on the median.
Right. It's good in principle, because falling asleep at the wheel is one of the main causes of single car accidents anyway. Again, it means that they have to monitor you 24/7, or at least, you know, while you're in your car the whole time, in order to do these things for you. So
they should have monitored Dick Cheney when he was sitting there during President.
Well, you see, it's people like the vice president who will somehow manage to be equipped with vehicles that don't have these systems. Yeah. It's the total surveillance state, and
that's exactly
you can bet
what it is.
That if it's coming to the EU and to England, it is just a few years away from coming here to the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of surveillance in the United States, the Centers for Disease Control and the Department of Homeland Security are working together on a new program that would allow the United States to detain travelers from other nations that show symptoms of illness.
Uh-huh.
Presumably, they want to stop the avian flu before it before it breaks out here in the United States and causes a pandemic here.
That sounds like a great idea.
It's for our protection.
Yes.
Well, the Departments of Homeland Security and Health and Human Services signed off on this order back in October, and it gives the CDC and customs agents powers to detain travelers that appear to be sick. The problem with this plan, according to experts on the issue, is that people can be shedding virus mm-hmm. like crazy before they display any symptoms of illness.
Exactly.
By the time you're sick, you've already been infecting people around you for days.
Here's an example. This isn't human, but here's an example. Our dog, Java, many of you are familiar with her. We got her when she was 9 weeks old. She had had one shot in her parvovirus series. Parvovirus mm-hmm. is a highly infectious virus that can really kill, just kill any dog that gets it, especially one that is young. I took her to the vet the very next day for a wellness check
mm-hmm.
and to schedule her first puppy shots and all this stuff. She showed no signs. She was perfectly healthy.
Mm-hmm.
2 days later, she was on death's door.
Literally.
And I was told during that whole time she was shedding virus.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, she got it from a puppy who didn't necessarily show signs. She may have shed her virus to other puppies as, you know, she was at the pet store. I even mm-hmm. called the pet store. And, of course, this is a whole rant that I could go into, but I won't. But
he wasn't very happy to hear you call.
No. He says, well, we disinfect. And I said, look, common disinfecting, that doesn't work on parvo. And click.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, that's happened. Anyway, you know, Java is very, very dear to us. So regardless of all of that, you know, we got her through the medication. We took care of her. Anyway, she was shedding virus, and she didn't look ill at all. She looked perfectly healthy.
Mm-hmm. Well, that begs the question, then, if this isn't an effective way of stopping the transmission of avian flu or other types of diseases that we're worried about, what then is the point?
Oh, maybe to have an excuse to stop somebody?
Perhaps to stop somebody. Perhaps just to build databases of travelers.
Perhaps to scare people.
Perhaps to scare people into accepting more control.
And In fact, along that line of scaring people, there's a story. Now I'm trying to scroll down here to find it so I can actually read the headline to you. But it was, here it is, USDA approves China to re-export poultry to U.S.
Now, China is a place where they've had lots of chickens get sick, isn't it?
Yeah. It says mm-hmm. here, China can export processed poultry products from U.S. origin birds back to the U.S.
Because if they came from the U.S. originally, we know they're safe. Huh?
Uh-huh. Well, that just sounds stupid to me.
And bear in mind that Sharon does have a degree in molecular biology, so she knows whereof she speaks as far as the basic working of, these little critters, these little bugs.
You know, it's like, well, we're trying our best to get the avian flu kick-started here. We just can't seem to get it going. Get some Chinese birds over here.
Yeah.
But don't get Chinese birds. Get American birds that have visited China. In fact, we'll send a lot of our birds over there to visit China, then bring them home.
Yeah, and if any of them look sick, we'll stop them at the airport.
Well, maybe we will.
And the customs agents will stop them at the airport. Well, this is another story in which I find myself agreeing with the ACLU, and that really gripes me.
Honey?
You're
going to be
real
a card-carrying member of the ACLU?
No, I know.
That will never happen, but it's pretty... You know, the enemy of my enemy.
But they make a good point here. Spokesman for the ACLU said the tracking of data on airline passengers, which can amount to building lifetime dossiers on Americans, is apparently what they're up was apparently what the CDC, not the CDC, but Homeland Security and Health and Human Services are about. And this was not a publicly debated, voted on issue before the United States Congress. This is just something that was agreed to quietly behind the scenes by a couple of departments within the executive branch, which, as we know, is operating rather like a monarchy of late. So now, again, we don't argue with the CDC's attempts to promote good public health.
No.
We're not advocating the banning of all vaccines. I mean,
bear in mind, CDC is CDC.gov. They are not an independent organization.
That is correct.
That is policing the health of our nation. They're part of the government.
They are part of the government. And when you've got departments of the government that are doing something that does not appear to be effective for what they say it's good. In other words, we want to enact this policy, but it's plain to just people with common sense that it's not effective. It's not going to work. Then you have to step back and look a little deeper and say, why are they really doing this? Are they really stupid? Or are they just floating a story in order to cover what they really want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And it's my belief that the people who rise to that level within the government generally aren't stupid.
I'm sorry, I'm laughing because you were just talking about the whole intelligence gathering thing. I'm thinking of John Negroponte sitting in his office, Mr. Intelligence Czar. Mm-hmm. He's not stupid.
No, he's not.
But he does nothing.
Well, that's the complaint.
What is he there for?
That is the complaint about Negroponte, that he's not doing a whole lot. Although it was interesting over the weekend, we saw a story where Mr. Negroponte came out and said, you know, Iran is a long ways away from getting a nuclear weapon.
Maybe even the next decade or so.
Yeah.
It could be years and years before they get it. Now, this is right after we heard story after story.
Yeah.
They could be weeks away.
Yeah.
All at the latest.
So here's the question. What does John Negroponte know that Dick Cheney doesn't know, that Condoleezza Rice doesn't know?
Or what is John Negroponte trying to signal?
Yeah.
There is clearly a civil war of some kind going on within the government,
mm-hmm.
within neocon factions.
Yeah, and it's really odd because Negroponte was considered an insider among the neocons. He is a Yalie, mm-hmm. graduate of Yale. He's from one of those secret societies. Now, I can't remember if Negroponte is Skull and Bones or one of the others. I'll have to look up. But the point is that we've been getting one story from the administration, and now the guy who's in charge of intelligence, the guy who's supposed to oversee the CIA and the DIA and all of our other intelligence agencies, is coming out and saying, oh, no, we got nothing to worry about. It's years away, years mm-hmm. away. So why then is Condoleezza Rice coming right out and saying, we can't let this happen. We're prepared to go in alone.
Yeah, exactly. Guns blazing.
What is the deal?
You know, along that same line, a group of physicists have written a letter, 13 of them, strangely enough, have written a letter to the president and sent copies to their congressman saying, if you go in and do this, if you take nuclear weapons into Iran, you're idiots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the whole world is going to pay the price, which is something that, again, anyone with common sense knows. I mean, mm-hmm. you can't. It's like what we've been talking about with Carl W.B. Schwartz for months, you know, with the use of depleted uranium, which is supposed to be, you know, depleted.
Mm-hmm.
And it turning out that it's actually very toxic and spreading a lot farther than anyone ever thought. If we actually go into Iran and use tactical nukes, which is an idea that's been floated, how far is that radiation going to spread? Well, these physicists apparently are very concerned that it's going to spread and affect the entire world. The Fence Club, by the way, is what John Negroponte belonged to when he was at Yale.
You know, speaking of Yale, before President Hu of China left, his last stop was Yale.
Really?
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Isn't that?
Huh.
Yeah, I thought you'd like that one.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
Well, as long as we're talking about intelligence, we probably got to bring up the story of the woman who was fired from the CIA.
McCarthy.
Yeah, Mary McCarthy. This is another story that indicates that there is something going on inside the government and inside the intelligence community that lead you to believe there's some conflict there. They're like almost like in like a little civil war going on, tug of war for power.
Yeah, this is a woman who's in her, she's 61 years old.
Mm-hmm.
She's studying law at night.
Hmm.
She was planning on leaving, I think. But she's 61. She must be a go-getter because, I mean, here she is studying law with the intention of doing something different when she left the CIA. And apparently when she was there, she was considered to be a very fine employee.
Mm-hmm. Well, until recently when she started getting shoved around inside the agency. She does not appear to be a political hack because apparently back in 1998 when President Clinton wanted to bomb Sudan, she was the one who stepped up and said, you know, we don't have conclusive evidence that they're really making chemical weapons there. And, of course, it turned out to be an aspirin factory.
Exactly.
So she wasn't, I'm sure, on anyone's, you know, most favorite list within the Clinton White House because she was proven right. But it was the Bush administration that has kind of shoved her out and fired her. Now, she's been with the agency for years.
Mm-hmm.
Reports are, according to Wayne Madsen, investigative reporter, and I'll put a link to his website. It's good information. He's former NSA, so he's got some connections on the inside.
Yeah, it's a good read. You should visit there every day.
Yeah, that she was apparently perceived as a political enemy, and that's why she's being shoved out. Maybe Wayne thinks that she discovered some illegal activity within the CIA, and that's why she's being shoved out. Well, of course, that's real smart because now she's going to write a book, probably, and reveal even more
of
what she knows.
That is the word. And apparently she has been talking to a reporter, and I don't know if that's exactly why she was fired, but we'll find out. She was about to resign, and they told her, no, you're fired.
Yeah, you can't quit. We fire you.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I've been there. So anyway, that will be interesting to see what comes of that, because the implication there is that the current chief of the CIA may have been involved in some dirty deeds in his CIA past.
But, and I think this is really going to come out. Right now, it's just so under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
You know, up until a couple of days ago, I'd never heard of it. And I think that we're going to start hearing more and more about this. As momentum goes, and as I described to you today, a snowball is rolling down the hill.
Yes.
With Bush's face and legs coming out of it.
Well, yeah, and there's an interesting story that popped up over the weekend now that seems to be gaining some momentum, as you describe.
The states of Illinois and California have penned joint resolutions calling for President Bush's impeachment. And apparently, according to Thomas Jefferson's writings, there is a little-known clause that allows for this to happen. It does not have to be the Congress of the United States of America.
Yeah, this is something I didn't know. Now, I'm not an expert on the United States Constitution, but there is a clause within the rules of the House that allow for a state legislature to introduce a bill of impeachment against a sitting president. And these joint resolutions now have been introduced in Illinois and in California.
Mm-hmm.
Both. Now, I don't know California's legislature, but I know that California is a heavily Democratic state.
Mm-hmm. So is Illinois.
And Illinois is for sure. I know that for a fact. Grew up there. So it will be interesting to see what happens if one or the other state legislature passes this resolution calling for the impeachment of the president, because then it would be introduced into the House, the United States Congress.
Exactly. And I know that it can easily be said, well, this is all political. And, you know, to be honest, it may well be. But we'll see how this test case goes, because if states have this power,
mm-hmm.
that's pretty cool.
Well, that's kind of the whole point of checks and balances. The states are supposed to retain this kind of power over the federal government.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we could go off and do a whole show on this, on the balance of power between the states and the federal government. Yeah.
Oh, this whole notion of the Constitution being a living document,
mm-hmm.
We sort of interpret it and change the rules as we go along, essentially.
Yeah.
No, it's essentially that the states are, it's supposed to be these United States
right.
of America.
Yeah.
Not the United States of America.
Exactly. The United States is a plural.
Mm-hmm.
That's a plural, not a singular.
A one thing.
It's a group.
Exactly. We are a group of 50 sovereign states.
Yeah. At least we. That's the way it was intended, and it was that way generally. In fact, most people considered it that way up until the time of the Civil War.
Exactly. I think it can even be argued that what we're supposed to be is more like what the EU is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In fact, one could even say, and I know at one time it was true, that each state or many states had their own currency.
Right.
And things were homogenized simply to get along. We got to get along, you know.
Consolidation of power. I mean, it's a basic human tendency. Men in power, well, people in power, tend to try to consolidate that power. And we keep seeing the flow of power away from the states and toward the central government in Washington, D.C.
Well, the nice thing, and I am really, I feel so much better knowing this, and that's that Michelle Malkin now has her own internet streaming audio.
I'm glad you brought that up.
Internet screaming audio. Called Vent with Michelle Malkin.
Yes.
On hotair.com.
I tried visiting late this afternoon. Word has gotten out the server crashed. Yeah, so a lot of people are visiting. Michelle Malkin has launched this. And I presume that this network that's launched has a group of pundits, not just Michelle. She seems to be the one who's put out in front. She's the founder and CEO, but she's got other people involved in this. But what gripes me is that the press release indicates that Hot Air is going to expose viewers of all political stripes to the world of video blogging, animation, and podcasting. Now, yes. Excuse me.
Oh, honey, that's so innovative.
She's cutting edge.
It's never been done before.
Never been done before. So rush right over and tune into hotair.com.
Because where else can you go on the internet to get
podcasting views? And political opinion?
Exactly.
I don't know. Well, I'll tell you what. I'd be curious to, you know, look over at wingtv.net and see what Victor and Lisa have to say about this. Because they, you know, I have don't always agree with their opinions. But I have to say that they were the first ones I saw who were doing video blogging and mm-hmm. the video casting of their political opinions on a regular basis.
Exactly.
And now Michelle Malkin is like, you know, a year later, like, hey, look at this new thing.
Look, there are lots of, hey, you know, the ninja thing. I mean, there are lots of
Ask
video.
Ask a ninja, yeah.
There are lots of, you know, if you've never seen Ask a Ninja.
I'll put a link to that in the show notes. Not for everyone, but it's funny.
No, it isn't. It's quirky. But I love her logo here, though, seriously, at hotair.com. They've struck a little match in the eye.
Let's see. Can I get onto the site now? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Uh-huh. Hot Air, get your fill. You really want to like that match?
Yeah. Vent with Michelle Malkin.
Yeah, well, it says right here, sorry for the intermittent outages, been swamped by traffic. A good problem to have.
Yeah, well, we can relate to that. And it's probably worth tuning in just to see what the mainstream wants you to think. This is where I have to laugh, you know, because pundits like Michelle Malkin, and Sean Hannity does this a lot on his radio show. Mm-hmm. He keeps making reference to the mainstream media as if he's not it. Hannity is the second most listened to syndicated radio host in America behind Rush Limbaugh.
By definition, that makes him mainstream.
Sean, you are the mainstream. I'm sorry, you are not the underdog anymore. You're the guy that we take shots at, not the other way around.
Hey, we're the underdogs.
That's right. We get to use that phrase, the mainstream media. It ain't us. But it's not Sean Hannity. It's not Michelle Malkin either. We had a good friend who sent us an email just asking us how we can stand to watch Fox News.
It's painful.
It is. We do it so you don't have to. But
no, we can't use that phrase because there's a website that uses
there is
that.
An excellent
and
website.
And I love that website.
Yeah, and what is the URL on that site?
NewsHounds?
NewsHounds? I think that's it. Basically, they watch Fox News and they you know point out some of the inconsistencies and so forth. And it is a valuable tool, a valuable source.
Hounds going after the fox.
That's right. That's very clever.
Yeah.
So, but you do have to watch. You do have to tune in and watch MSNBC, CNN, Fox News, CBS, ABC, you know, just to see what it is they're talking about. Because frankly, if you're listening to us, You're not in the mainstream.
Exactly.
Yeah, we know it. We don't have a problem with it. We may joke about it. We may rant a little bit now and then, but we know it. And you do have to know what the mainstream is thinking. You do have to know what they want you to think.
Because it's really important. It's not just so you can sit there and throw things at the television, although that is cathartic.
Therapeutic, yes.
It is, indeed. It's so you know what, frankly, the Luciferians and the Bilderbergers and all the folks that own all the media outlets want you to hear. Mm-hmm. There are talking points. I'm convinced of it. There are talking points issued to all of the people whose, you know, talking heads are telling us about this news story or that news story, this opinion, that opinion.
Mm-hmm.
They can't diverge from that very much. And if they do, they're probably gone.
No, and there are little stories out there that will sometimes pop through the mainstream media, not often on the television, you know, the cable channels. But if you do some digging on the internet, you'll find stories like the military admitting, yeah, we've basically been engaged in psyops domestically through the news media.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't see that stuff like that doesn't turn up on Fox or CNN.
That's true.
But you have to be aware of it to know what it is they're putting out there. Well, we're probably running a little short of time for our rant, but we can time for a couple more, do you think?
Well, there is one last news story that just came in, and that's that there has been a series of bomb blasts in an Egyptian resort city. And, of course, Egypt has this problem off and on. What's interesting about this is this past weekend was Coptic Easter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. So this happened at a time when the hotels were full of religious travelers.
And presumably Christian travelers who were there to celebrate Easter, right?
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, we'll keep an eye on that. Of course, the Islamic Brotherhood has been gaining strength in Egypt in their parliament. They won a surprising number of seats in their election back in December. So that is something to be aware of. Well, as long as we're speaking about Islam, I need to mention a story. I need to mention this story from The Sun in the UK. It has been revealed by enterprising journalists in the UK that the administrators of a jail in the UK are rebuilding their toilets. They're rebuilding their toilets because apparently...
They leak?
Well, no. Apparently, it is a forbidden in the Islamic religion to either face or face away from Mecca when they are on the lavatory. So they need to rearrange the toilets by 90 degrees in this particular prison so that Islamic prisoners won't be forced to violate their beliefs when they sit on the loo. This is true.
You and I talked about this the other day, and you made two comments that I thought were so insightful. Now, granted, that there are some who become...
Muslim in prison. Yeah.
But for those who were Muslims before they went to prison.
Well, yeah, a Muslim who is a former inmate of this particular prison said, quote, "The least the prison service can do is make sure people can practice their religion correctly in prison," end quote.
You don't have to practice it correctly out of prison because, you know, breaking the law is okay outside of prison, right? That's what gets you into prison.
Well, one would assume that if you're practicing your religion correctly, you're not likely to be in prison. But
those would argue that, of course, practicing certain areas of certain faiths will get you into prison because they, you know, you either convert or you die.
Yeah. Well, it depends on where you are, and some would argue that here in America, sooner rather than later, any form of religion that places a supreme deity above the government might find yourself afoul of the law.
You know, I've heard things like this, and it's not just rearranging the orientation of toilet seats. It's if you're a practicing witch, you get to have, you know, access to the material so you can have your altar and draw your pentagram or whatever it is you do. I think these things are just out and out ridiculous.
Well, I agree. I agree. And that's why I mentioned the story. I think it's kind of silly that they are now officials in London are kind of embarrassed by this, apparently, because they're just saying, well, this is part of a planned refurbishment of this jail. But if you're going to refurbish the jail, you know, that's a lot of work to physically reorient the toilets because you got to reroute a lot of plumbing in order to do it.
So if these guys are renting a house,
I don't know.
Do they insist that the landlord reorient the bathroom?
Either that or they just sit sideways. I don't
know. Oh, the picture. I don't even want to think about that. So, the picture.
Anyway,
oh, the picture.
Yeah, we just thought we'd throw that out there and cogitate. Legalism can cause more problems for you than it solves.
Well, you know, we'll just close with the story that it's good to know that there are goats being born with human genes.
Ah, kids with the genes of kids.
Kids are kids, yeah.
Scientists working, now this is in Belarus, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Kids born in an experimental herd of goats with a transplanted human gene.
Mm-hmm. Female lactoferrin.
So this is to then generate milk that more tolerant,
tastes like
tolerable
iron.
To kids. that's bizarre. I know that they've done some strange things like this in the past in some of this transgenic stuff where they've actually transplanted a spider silk protein into mm-hmm. a goat's milk so they could synthesize the protein
right.
of this silk.
Right, and you know I've talked about this before. Also, there's a gene that's in fish up in the Antarctic, I think, down in the Antarctic, that allows them to swim in frigid waters and not freeze.
Uh-huh.
And this gene has been transplanted into tomatoes and other vegetables like that, so they can be shipped
uh-huh.
and stay fresh but not freeze, because freezing tomatoes
sure.
essentially ruins the tomato. They don't hold up well to that.
Well, no, the ice crystals just, destroys the tomato. Well, yeah, this is more of the kind of transgenic stuff that Tom Horn talks about a lot, and he posts a lot of great information about that whenever it pops up at Raiders News Update.
It's like with Nicole. I mean, she did an experiment where they transplanted a gene from a phosphorescent gene
uh-huh.
into
E. coli.
E. coli,
yeah.
Yes.
And so they basically got bacteria that glowed green under a fluorescent light, just to say that they could do it. But mm-hmm. the point is that this is also being done with pigs. We've seen the pictures. In fact, mm-hmm. you posted to Watcher Magazine, pigs
the
that glow green.
The glowing pigs.
Yeah.
That phosphorescent gene is very popular right now. Apparently, it's an easy one to mm-hmm. to use and to work with. So.
And it's way cool.
I don't know if it'd be that way cool to the pig.
No, and the ultimate, ultimately, you just don't know what the side effects are going to be of this stuff.
Look, when God created animals, he created each one exactly the way he chose to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it is good.
Mm-hmm.
Each one created, procreated, mm-hmm. and the offspring was identical to the parent.
Yeah.
This is, you know, there's a big deal made about this in Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently,
yeah.
this was important to God, and
yeah.
I think it still is. And the fact that fallen angels came in and mucked around with it,
mm-hmm.
which is recorded in Genesis 6.
Right.
I think it was more than just lying with women, and it says also with animals, but I think it's also that they were mucking around genetically, that they were going in and using their knowledge of science,
mm-hmm.
which we think we're so cool because we can put a phosphorescent gene into an
E. coli,
exactly,
yes.
into a bacterium. But they messed things up, and they created hybrids, and that is not in God's design.
No, and bear in mind that Jesus himself mentioned this when he talked about the coming end of days. As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man.
You know, and speaking of coming of the Son of Man, we're going to be talking about end time prophecy all the month of May.
Yep.
You don't want to miss that. And starting tomorrow, we have part one of the interview with Jay Fields about Susan Lindauer.
Yeah, and if we get any updates about her condition, because we talked with Jay about a week ago, we will do that and make sure we bring you that up-to-date information. So, we've got some interesting information on the way. And as always, we welcome your comments and questions, suggestions for guests, suggestions for news items, stories that we might have missed. Send those to our email address, radio@peeringintodarkness.com.
And join us at the forum. It's free. It's fun. It's a wacko time. It's peeringintodarkness.com/forum. And pray for our modem.
That's right. Until tomorrow, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Gonna step up to the microphone. Say it loud.